Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to everybody. John Hancock playing the part of Amy Mark Scores. Let's just go off on Amy all week.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that would be that different, would
it? It'd be the same as last week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chris was just way too excited about that.
Yeah.
No. I love Amy.
You miss her, right?
Yeah,
especially
of course.
After 3 hours with me.
No, I love working with John, too.
Huh.
I love you both.
He's
such enthusiasm.
No, I'm serious. You're not as mean to me as Amy is. Oh. Amy's mean.
Is she mean?
She says mean things.
Huh. Do you get
that
mean?
Hurt my feelings?
Me? Do you have a mean streak?
No. Yeah. I rarely get angry.
I believe
I do
that.
Get angry.
Good for you.
But I rarely get angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet when you do, it's not pretty.
But it's not.
A man that wears purple plaid.
Yeah.
You got to watch out
purple?
For that guy.
Yeah,
them?
Especially when there's a pen right there in the
lavender.
Pocket. You got to be.
Yeah.
You don't even have a protector
that's a,
for
that's
that.
That's a
pen.
Falling down outfit right that's there.
Tula loves it. Tula loves it when Papa's got his pen in his pocket.
Uh-huh. That's cute.
That's very nice.
You're going to be pulling over at a highway overpass.
John, absolutely.
Shotgun.
He's got an Uzi. He's got an Uzi in his bag.
I do not have an Uzi.
So let's talk about a couple of the big stories. Yeah, here we go. I would like to take the Biden deal first, because I'm more emotional about that.
All right.
We'll talk about immunity. We have Brad Young coming up in a couple hours, about 2:45. He'll be my expert.
Oh, that'll be good.
He's great. He's really good.
He is.
So good. So cogent. But I'll take my swipe at it here in a few minutes. The Biden thing. We all know what I'm talking about. We're talking about what... Okay, I'm falling into the trap I'm about to criticize. I'm really... emotionally pissed about how the Biden supporters are trying to gaslight us.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say, hey, the die is cast. And I heard several pundits say this. I have eyes. I have a brain. I saw what happened. But you're talking pie in the sky if you're talking about switching candidates. It's not going to happen. Joe Biden's not going to put up with it. The DNC's not going to force it. It's not going to happen. I can respect that opinion. What I don't respect is when you're gaslighting me and when you're gaslighting the country. I'm tired of hearing it was only 90 minutes. It was just a bad 90 minutes. Here's another way to put it. It was 90 minutes. It was 90 minutes of absolute befuddlement and confusion. The man could not finish 2 minutes. Twice he was told, Mr. President, you have 80 seconds left. This is the most important debate of your life, possibly the most important 90 minutes of your political career. And you don't even finish the 2 minutes that they give you to make the case to the American people. This was us seeing behind the curtain. Do you really think this is only going to happen once? You think this cold he had, or he got a bad ravioli or something, and it caused him to be completely compromised for 90 minutes, but then he's fine. Then he's going to be great. You are fooling yourself. You are setting up this country. Look, I don't care. I don't like either one of them. I'm not going to vote for either one of them. At this point, it's kind of a toss-up who's worse, but... knowing a little something about what people look like, behave like, feel like when they are compromised by old age, that's what this is. And it only goes one direction. Can he have a better day the next day? Sure, he did. Somehow he magically got tan and had a top lip on June 28th. Isn't that amazing? The things you can do when you're in the Oval Office, right? Tan me, lip me, let's go. So I'm really disappointed in the Biden family for putting him out there. I'm disappointed in the powers that be. I'm disappointed in Joe Biden himself. This reminds me of when my dad had Alzheimer's and it was getting pretty bad, but he was still driving because my dad was my dad. And we went to take the keys away. Many of you have been through this. And even though he knew he shouldn't be driving, he didn't have the full mental capacity to see things reasonably and logically. He couldn't look at it and say, the last thing in the world I want to do is give up my car keys. It's the last bastion of freedom that I'm ever going to have. There's no going back from this. This means I'm old. This means I'm infirmed. He didn't have the capacity to think logically. So he fought back and he fought like a demon. And it was really difficult to do that. Most people out there have been through that. That's what this reminds me of. Joe Biden is not giving up his car keys because he doesn't have to, because he has Jill fooling him into staying in power, because he has his power broker friends who are telling him it's all going to be okay. He doesn't even have the mental capacity to tell how bad he is. That's my take. Thoughts?
It could be that, or it could also be they just don't believe there's enough time. There's enough time to get somebody else in there who's got name recognition, enough name recognition to win a general election, or enough fundraising. And I err on that.
I'm okay.
I'm
not okay if that's what you believe, but what you tell me is he's fine.
Right, but from a strategic standpoint, I don't know that that's a winning. I don't know if that wins for them. If they say, look, we know he's like this, but we just don't have time to get somebody else in. I don't think that helps him win an election.
They're going to lose. He's going to lose, folks. I mean, look, there's not enough people.
And I think handily.
Yes. There's not enough people in the country who love Donald Trump to elect Donald Trump. I mean, that's clear. But there's also not enough people in the country who hate Donald Trump in sufficient numbers to elect Joe Biden. And I couldn't have said what you said, Dave, and laid out in that monologue is the best summation of where things are that I've heard anybody give. And that's precisely correct. He's not going to win. And I have assumed this whole time for over a year that once that realization hit home for the Democrat infrastructure, that they would do the obvious right thing to do is replace him. And there's enough time. Because there are a lot. Donald Trump is not a popular political figure in this country. A lot of people love him, but on balance, he's not a majoritarian popular political figure. Most people don't care for him so much. And that's also true of Biden. So a new face injected into this mix is not a guarantee of a win, but it certainly gives him a much, much, much better chance of winning that election in November than sticking with this guy who's going to lose.
At minimum, the hiding of Joe Biden needs to stop. He needs to be out there, and I'm saying on a daily basis, because this disease of aging is on a daily basis.
Of course.
We deserve to see what he's like on, at minimum, a weekly basis.
Have you seen this reporting from Axios over the weekend that basically said he's fine between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4
yeah.
p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beyond that, they have a really difficult time wrangling him.
You know, having been through that, I believe it. It's called sundowning.
Sundowner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. People do it. So, some people are the opposite. There's some people who have bad mornings and they get better as the day goes on. This is not his fault.
Right.
He has done nothing wrong, but he and his family, and especially Jill Biden, are doing something wrong now.
John and I talked about this a little bit because there was the tweet from Bill O'Reilly yesterday, who was pretty emphatic that Joe is stepping down, that he has it on good authority, that he's stepping down and is going to announce it soon. And then, of course, a lot of people went after him on it, thinking it was nonsense. And he doubled down on it today. So I don't know. I wonder if there could be a little something to it. But from everything else we've heard, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they're just going right with this and they're going to keep rolling on.
Well, there's also the story that apparently Biden's like top people were telling donors, like, yeah, if he were to step aside, which he's not going to. But if he were, the majority of those funds would go to Kamala and then the rest would go to the DNC. That's a really strange thing mm-hmm. to say if you have no plans to step aside.
So I think that's the other difficulty. I think they see that if they were going to move on, if it's not her who gets the nomination naturally, that you're going to lose a lot of the African-American vote. But if she does get the nomination, there are a lot of people who just don't like her and won't vote for her. So they're in a very difficult position with that.
It's difficult, I suppose, but it's really not. She can't be the nominee because she can't win. I mean, you know, I do this for a living. You want to win the election. And you've got a situation here where you got a guy, you're not going to win the election. And there is a way to win the election, is go pick it. You can go, you know, not out on the street, but there's a plethora of options. And you can certainly acknowledge the African-American base of your party in the putting together the ticket. So
How do you do it if it's not her? How do you do it and not make it sound like she got passed over for some white guy?
Because the nominee gets to pick their running mate, and if the nominee picks James Clyburn of South Carolina, then I don't think the Kamala problem is that big of a problem if they handle the politics of it correctly. The nominee gets to pick their running mate, and so there you go. I don't inherit Dan Quayle when I run for president, after George H.W. Bush leaves. I get to pick my running mate.
And that's something disturbing that I had kept hearing over the weekend, just on like the Sunday shows, is people kept saying, like, he's been in politics for however long it's been, a very long time. Joe Biden has been in politics. Who has the right to tell him to step aside? And I'm thinking, I mean, I guess by like playground rules, he has seniority, but this is our nation here. Mm-hmm. If we can't have someone who's not firing on all cylinders running our country.
And we can't have someone who's not firing on most cylinders make that decision.
Right.
But we're going to, because it's his decision to make. So we can jerk around all we want, but he gets to make this decision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's got the delegates. And I mean, if he insists on going through with this, he's going to be the candidate. And this is not unprecedented in American history. Edith Wilson ran the country for the better part of a year after, thank goodness,
talk about that.
World War
I. I was just telling a friend about that, but I didn't have the real details. But
well, he had a stroke, and he was compromised. He wasn't able to walk, and mentally he was not all there. And she would let very few people have access to him during that last year he was in office. And they basically covered the whole thing up for over a year, and they make his hand to sign stuff, but Edith Wilson was running the country, and that's Joe Biden's not going to be running the country. He may not be running the country right now.
Yeah, that's another thing. And we talked about this the day after the debate. I'm worried about now. I mean, if they're basically saying he's good between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah, you better invade Taiwan then, right, during the daytime.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, National Review has a headline. Please make your 3 a.m. phone call between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Which is like, that's very clever, but it's also like, that's the state we're in right now.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back when we'll talk about this, the immunity case out of the Supreme Court. Welcome back, guys. DGS 122. Let's get one call here before we move on to the qualified immunity. John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, John.
Listen to you a long time. I kind of agree with what your comments were about Biden. I think he started off slow, and he came around, made some points with details as it went along, versus Trump just regurgitating many, many exaggerations, lies, embarrassing. And I admit I voted for Trump, but I will not vote for Trump ever again.
Yeah,
but at the same time, the whole thing is like a bad movie. It's like a bad movie because it's like we got these two people to pick from, and we got 350 million people in the United States of America. And it's just so sad. And I'm not voting for either one. I'm not.
I'm scared of Kamala being... I'm going to walk in there and vote down ticket. That unless something happens between now and then, that's all I can do. I can't. I take it seriously. I don't take a lot seriously in life, but voting is one thing I do. And I, even though it doesn't matter because Trump's going to win Missouri, I just don't feel like I can pull that trigger for Biden.
Yeah, this whole thing fascinates me because everything we've said about Biden going back to last week, I think, is 100%. Every criticism is 100% true. It was a horrible showing. You're in a big spot. And so much of the election is about how you present. And yet the other side is not even a story, that it was just nonsense, making stuff up, blatant lies, but a lot of it just not knowing things or just connecting things that aren't connected. That's not even a story because
it's
expected.
Which shows you how bad Biden was.
Right.
To a degree, but it also shows you how much the strategy of just nonstop insanity means that the insanity is not even noteworthy anymore.
Yeah, I put Trump into three categories of stuff. He lies about some stuff.
Right.
I did not have sex with a porn star. And then a big chunk of it is just BS. You know, greatest president in the history of the country, greatest economy ever, it's just BS. And then the other, the third is ignorance. He just doesn't know. You know, we've put more money into Ukraine than all of Western Europe. Well, no, that's actually not true. Yeah, you know, so you've got those three things going on.
And, not, and
isn't this like a horrific game of would you rather?
Yes.
I mean,
the caller nailed it. Like, that's the problem. Like, this is it. This is the best we can do. And the big, there's, and the, and I don't even know how to balance the thoughts on this because every criticism that's being levied against Biden is correct. But yet at the same time, it's a non-story that a guy just BS'd his way through 90 minutes and didn't say anything of substance, didn't really get policy points right at all. And it just does not matter.
Well, I mean, he was fact checked. I mean, that's been reported.
Not in real time, though, and well, not two people. Are people that are going to want to vote for him? Do they even care to look to see if it's been fact checked?
Many do not.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why this choice
Kev,
sucks.
They don't accept the fact check.
I know this is the point.
You guys are saying fact check as if it's a real thing.
Well, and the moderators caught some flack for not pushing back on Trump, but that. If you're interviewing somebody, you push back on the facts. But the fact checker in that debate was Joe Biden.
Yes.
And he was not.
And he failed.
Yes.
Yeah, failed badly.
Yeah.
That bothered me more than any of the looking old stuff. The fact that he could not keep up and could not rebut anything being thrown the other direction that was just incorrect.
That might have been effective.
It would have been.
If he had done
yes.
it. Yes.
And I think that's the thing that if we're talking about the person that can run effectively against Trump, it's a person that can do that.
Yeah.
It's somebody in real time who can say, Donald, that's not true. Here's the truth. And people can look it up here on this website or whatever.
It was making me want to throw up over the weekend this whole I'm a Biden. And when you fall, you get back up. Kiss my ass. I don't care about your personal family crest. I don't care about you want your son Bo to look down for. I don't care about any of that. I have that. Glovers. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That stops exactly where it affects someone else who isn't responsible for that.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
And the whole, I saw a good joke out about it on Twitter too, how he did the whole, it's not about whether you get knocked down. It's about whether you get back up. And the person's reply was, yeah, who knocked you down again?
You sit in traffic now, but later there's a nice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
133 DGS, John Hancock with us for another segment. Let's talk about the Supreme Court case today. This is going back to law school in the 10 years that I was a lawyer. This is not current day expertise, but just some thoughts. So I didn't think the case was that bad, what came out today. I thought it was a bit cowardly of the Supreme Court in that they had the information or they could have at least they could have gone farther. They could have said the chief executive of the United States of America has limited immunity for official acts. They do not have immunity for unofficial acts. Here are some examples. And here are some examples from Donald Trump on January 6th. They could have done that, but they're pansies. So they just remanded it back to Chutkan. And now Chutkan is going to have a very full desk. And she is going to have to go through. They're going to have to brief this. It's going to be almost like an appellate court proceeding. And they're going to have to convince her that none of these things were official acts. No, all of these things were official acts. So he is going to be liable for less than he was before this, because some of them certainly will be found to be official acts. Here's an example. What was that idiot's name? Jeff Clark. That he was trying to replace Bill Barr as attorney general with Jeff Clark because Jeff Clark was in on the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Trying to replace your attorney general is an official act that should be covered by immunity. Let's say that I'm president and John is my attorney general, but he says something mean about my wife and I say, oh, screw you. It's going to be Kevin Wheeler. And Kevin has no experience. He's just my good buddy who's a sports guy. That's a really foolish decision to make, but it's not a criminal decision. It's an official act. I'm just not a very good chief executive. However, if Kevin and I are involved in a conspiracy, and I say, I'm going to get rid of John and I'm going to hire Kevin, now you're talking about something that may not be an official act because it's in furtherance of a crime. Does that make sense?
Sure. And Chutkan, I thought, in her original judgment on this that ended up going to the Supreme Court, I thought she drew a fairly clear line between the president and the candidate. And that, you know, all of the election stuff, the phone calls to Georgia.
Raffensperger, yeah.
The phone calls to Arizona and trying to get the Arizona House Speaker. And, she drew the line in her original decision that those were the actions of a candidate, not the actions of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, at least I haven't read the whole thing. It's pretty thick,
yeah.
Robert's opinion. But it seems to me like they were silent on that question, the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
They said you've got immunity for official acts, but you don't have immunity for your whatever, illegal acts, unofficial acts. But this thing is going to just get litigated and litigated and litigated on the specifics of this case. And so
until he's reelected.
Until he's reelected,
and then it
goes
gonna
away.
Go away.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right, so a big win for him.
A big procedural win for him,
right,
a big practical win for him.
Yeah.
I think that if by some miracle he is not reelected and they go ahead with this case, I think that there's a very good chance that he is found liable, guilty for some of these acts. He will find out the hard way that you didn't just win the immunity case. It's far more complicated than that. I'll tell you another one, too. For someone who's very much on the record for not liking Donald Trump, it would be my wish that when you are going through the legal proceeding and you are parsing out what he's liable for and what he's not liable for, I think I would put a big thumb on the scale for him. Not because of Donald J. Trump, but because he's the president of the United States. And the next person is going to have to live with these decisions.
Yeah.
I think he deserves, he or she, whoever's in that chair, who's ever in that Oval Office behind the Resolute desk, deserves a great deal of room, a great deal of deference. And that's why, if you do find them liable or guilty for an unofficial act, it needs to be shocking, I think. If I were on the Supreme Court, I would use words like that. I think January 6th and what he did on January 6th, some of the things were shocking. Some of the things were just inept.
Yeah, the speech at the Ellipse was an official act. You can't prosecute him for that.
Can't prosecute him for challenging things. That's his absolute right.
They went to court and did that, sure. I'm most concerned, and I've always thought the January 6th case was a little tenuous for a host of reasons. But the documents case, and is Judge Cannon down there in Florida going to rule that it was an official act for him to take those documents out when he was president, and therefore the case goes away?
Hadn't thought about that.
It'd be a really poor ruling.
Mm-hmm.
But is it beyond the realm of possibility? No.
Yeah,
it's not.
Then they would get the case back because then the state would.
Well, the 11th Circuit would rule first.
Yes.
And the 11th Circuit would overturn that in a heartbeat.
But yes.
I could see Cannon doing that.
How does just the general what you guys know about the immunity decision hit you guys?
To me, I would rather err more on the side of reducing presidential power in general rather than enhancing it or protecting it. And that goes, this has been going on for, 30 years, John, where we have been trying to give the executive more and more privilege, been using more and more executive orders, which are obviously easily overturned, but also much easier to do than passing laws. I think we've shifted too much in that direction. It's supposed to be checked and balanced on purpose. Like, they're all supposed to be equal. And I think we've been leaning towards too much executive. So I would err on the side of holding them even more accountable than we have, moving, I mean, just across the board. Yes, it's about this, but it's also about anybody else, too.
You keep it tight.
Absolutely.
I thought you did a great job of explaining it, Dave, and I kind of come down exactly where you're at. A lot of people are very upset online. I don't see anything to be super upset about. I've always been more fascinated on January 6th by what Donald Trump didn't do rather than what he did do. And what he didn't do was he didn't stop what was happening. He just sat and watched TV for hours. I don't know if that falls into this case at all. I mean, is that an official act or an unofficial act to do nothing while people are storming the Capitol?
Yeah, it could be construed as dereliction of duty. You have a duty to act and you don't act.
But that would be handled with impeachment.
Yes.
Right, that's a separate.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Right.
And we've kind of missed the boat on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we probably missed the boat on all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if John and I are right, and I think we are, Donald Trump will be the next president and all this stuff goes away.
It's just, to me, it's wild that that's not disqualifying for people. That everything that happened that day and has happened since, and we are rightful to be concerned about Biden's age and whatever deterioration is there, but how is this other stuff not still a very big deal for people?
Well, it is for a lot of people.
Right, but not
but
enough.
For a it large may not number be of people, enough. It didn't even happen.
Yeah. That to me is really stunning that that's where we are.
John, like you said, this is what you do for a living. Are you surprised with the speed that we built up 35, 40% of the country who believes these things?
Yes.
I mean, it seemingly happened overnight.
I look at a lot of polling data, and I look at the polling data in Republican primaries. Polling data I've been looking at now for 40 years. It's a different electorate that are voting in Republican primaries today. It's not just anecdotal. You see it in the numbers. You see the education level. You see the income
and
level.
It's flipped, hasn't it?
Not flip, but it's changed.
I mean,
certainly.
It used to be, I always thought of, like, I grew up in a very Democrat home.
Right.
And ended up being pretty conservative. But my dad was a union carpenter.
Yep.
The Republicans make their money off the back of the working man, that
yep.
whole thing. I was basically a little communist.
Yeah.
And to me, Republicans were always sort of country clubbers, and Democrats were the working people, the middle class. And now it's kind of flipped.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. The education, you know, a good 40% of Republican primary votes 25 years ago were college educated plus. That's now it's more like 8, 10, 12.
Wow.
I mean, it's different. It's a different party.
Which party do you think is going to get a hold of itself first? Because they've both gone down a dark path.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bowman's defeat in the primary in New York is interesting because it's the first time a progressive's been taken out by a traditional Democrat. We'll see it here, mm-hmm. obviously, in 5 weeks and a day with Cori Bush. So judging on that, you know, where, you know, Lauren Boebert on our side, she wins her election. So, you know, based on what we're seeing in empirical evidence, you know, I don't think it's the Republicans.
Just to ask about the Bush election, you think Bell wins that? Because the polling right now had him most recently, he think he was a point ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a turnout election. I think her supporters are more passionate, perhaps, but, you know, and I, you know, basing it on Kim Gardner winning a couple times, it's not exactly the same district, but we'll see. I kind of think Bush wins, but we'll see.
People would probably be less impressed with this is Andrew Stolz and you're listening to KMOX if they knew that your top story today on the Google Doc is opinion. The $5 deal that will save McDonald's is a terrible deal.
I hate when that plays, by the way. It's terrible. I'm not a good...
You leaned into it.
It actually sounds good.
It sounds good. It just doesn't...
Sound like you.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. I tried my voice.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Sound like Andrew Stolz. Doing his... doing a demo coming... Yeah.
The voice of Satan.
It sounds good.
I don't have one of those, so... Ugh.
No.
No, have you guys been to McDonald's lately?
Yeah, Friday.
Did you get the $5 meal?
No.
So here's what's in the $5 deal. It's a McChicken or a McDouble, a small soda, a small fry, and four chicken nuggets.
Okay.
That's not a great deal.
It's a biggie bag.
$5.
That's
not a lot. You get a beverage with it too?
Yeah,
you get
small drink.
You get a small drink, which at McDonald's is about this
big.
Yeah,
little guy.
It's a better deal if you're in store and you can get refills.
It's just not a great deal, I think, all around. I don't think this is the thing that's going to save McDonald's. I mean, for like $7.30-ish, not that I know that
you
it's $7.39.
Yeah, you may you be a little too close to this.
Well, I'm just saying, they're talking about, because I'm not the only person who eats McDonald's on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are a lot of people who eat it much more than I do. That's like an everyday thing. They count on it to feed their families. And I don't think this $5 deal.
He might have a point on that. Like, if you're using, I use the app on Friday, right? My wife and I decided just to have burgers for dinner, pick them up on the way home. So two triple cheeseburgers and a big basket of fries. So I guess the big basket of fries was like $7.50, $7.50 with the app, because we got a little $3 off thing. Because they're always on the app, they're always giving you a deal. They're always doing something. That's a much better deal than what Andrew's talking about for $5.
For around $7.50, you can get 20 nuggets and a large soda, which is much, much more food than what they are giving you in this other deal. It's a classic problem that McDonald's has always had, where they overvalue certain things. They overvalue, in particular, I think, the McChickens and the fries. I think McDonald's vastly overvalues their fries because they have great fries. They really do. But that $5 deal, the small fry is doing the lion's share of that work in terms of
I'm disturbed that he's more passionate about this than I was about Biden.
And this is why Ronald needs to step away.
Ronald McDonald.
I'm so mad at Grimace for keeping Ronald in that position and encouraging him to stay there.
If they came to you as a consultant, which they should, mm-hmm. would you say, like, hey, get rid of the fries and make it, like, two sandwich? I mean, because, I mean, to me, it still sounds like a pretty good deal. You're getting four things for $5.
I would make it a medium drink, and I would double the amount of nuggets that you're getting.
Isn't it a thing, though, that you get the fries, right? And the difference between the amount of fries from a small to a medium really isn't that much?
I think
it just looks like it's a lot.
I think it's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, I do too.
Or is it the medium to the large? I mean, something like that.
I think medium to large might
medium
be right.
Medium to large seems like a smaller jump to me. Yeah. But a small fry at McDonald's is a tiny pouch.
Is it the little bag thing?
Yeah.
They still have that?
Bag that they're putting a handful of fries in. It's just not very many fries.
I always prefer that, though, because it's from my childhood.
Yeah.
Sometimes they give you like the little tiny like red McDonald's box of fries, and it's just not the same. It's cute, but it's like I want the bag.
What's the toilet bar we're going to?
Okay, DGS road trip. I'm sure Wheels has seen
this. I've seen it. You've seen it, Ranj.
Okay, what does it mean when they
say minor league team?
Yeah, what does it mean when they say high A? Is that
okay? So that's
A?
It's the higher. There's two A levels.
Okay,
and there's a low and high, and it's just age basically or progression of set. So this would be for the Cardinals. This would be the team in the Midwest League.
Well, this is
Peoria. It would be the Peoria team. Yeah.
So the Cleveland Guardians affiliates, the Lake County Captains, made basically toilet row in their stadium, and you sit on a toilet the whole time.
They tore out the whole row right behind home plate, and they replaced every seat with a toilet.
Yeah, they're not functioning toilets, so people aren't actually going to be going to the bathroom, but it's just like the novelty of, I'm sitting on a toilet the whole game. It's fun, and they bring you your food and drinks. Yeah. It's really nice.
There's nowhere I prefer to sit than the toilet.
Yeah. That's what people are saying.
It's my happiest place.
So do your legs go numb on these toilets?
People are very concerned
for
that
three
their
hours
legs are
they might
numb by the end of the game.
Yeah, no, it was a sponsorship deal too, like a local plumbing company or hardware store. But that's what you do in the minors, is you make fun stuff out of things that make money. That's what you do.
Did anybody's grandparents have the soft toilet seats?
Oh yeah, my aunt had that.
I think my great grandma did.
I hated those, but they'd be perfect for this
when you sit down.
Yeah, these were padded, by the way.
That's exactly.
It was just a seat. It was just a seat. It wasn't me.
I don't feel secure on those things. If you know what I mean, I don't know how to really.
They don't
explain
feel
it.
Clean.
I don't feel clean.
My mom and dad saved all their money, and my dad's brother Jimmy spent all his money, and he lived in a cabin on a lake in Kentucky, and he had boats, and he had Lincoln Continentals, and. didn't have a penny of net worth. And the first time we went to his cabin, I went in to go to the bathroom, and the toilet seat was one of those that had pennies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's so rich.
It was clear plexiglass. It was full of pennies.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They even
I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
$2 here. Wow.
They did pad the seats at the toilet seat row in ballgame. Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know. It sounds like a DGS road trip
they
to
had
me.
Little, they had like little magazine racks in the back of them.
That's not bad.
It's funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Minor league's the best.
Yeah.